One of my favorite movies is the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark. And in that movie, there's a great scene right at the beginning of the movie where the hero, Indiana Jones, is making his way through the jungle to a forbidden temple in search of a golden idol. However, when he gets to the temple, he finds that it's heavily booby-trapped. Huge spiders, deadly spikes, seemingly bottomless pit, and this huge boulder that will crush anyone gets in its way. After narrowly escaping a series of these deadly traps, Indiana reaches this idol chamber, and there it is. After all this, this golden idol is just several feet in front of him. And that's when he notices these intricate stone tiles on the floor. And he pauses, and then he carefully presses down on a tile to test it. And immediately, this razor-sharp spear whizzes past his face. So he quickly realizes that just with just one misstep, and he'll be pierced through. So with that knowledge, he steps forward, carefully avoiding the dangerous stones. And of course, as all good movies do, he survives, he gains the golden idol. But the lesson that we learn from that scene is that there is a specific path to take, certain steps to be avoided, and there's no room for mistakes. I use that illustration this morning as we come to the end of my series of messages based on the book, 10 Dumb Things Smart Christians Believe. And just to refresh everyone's memory one more time, in this book, the author takes several common beliefs that Christians hold on to. And even though they may have been taught these all their lives, and they sound really good and sound biblical, they're not really biblical at all. They're false, or at least they're distorted. And by holding on to them too tightly, we've seen over the past several weeks, they have the potential to damage our faith, our relationship with God. And that's why I've never really said this before, but if you've missed any of these messages, I encourage you to go to our website and click on the link and listen to them. Because I think these things can be very important for us to hear. So today we tackle the last one of these common beliefs, and it's the myth that says, God has a blueprint for my life. In other words, referring back to that illustration that I used, we like to believe that if we stay on a certain path, doing what's right, walking carefully, avoiding taking any risk, then we fulfill our destiny, and God is pleased. And that's often based on this very well-known, often quoted verse from Jeremiah 29. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." It reminds me of the story of a woman I read about who turned 100 years old. And the nursing home that she was living in decided to give her a party. Newspaper sent a reporter to interview her for an article in the paper. And so when he asked this 100-year-old woman, "Do you have any children?" She replied without any hesitation, "Not yet." A hopeful future. Well, the challenge we take on today is whether God really does have a blueprint for us, a specific blueprint, or could it possibly be that instead of a blueprint, God operates more of a game plan? And I think that's maybe what this verse is really saying here. But you may be thinking, aren't blueprints and game plans the same thing? They sound similar. And they are similar, But I want to point out a little bit just how they are different. See, a blueprint is a specific set of instructions that spells everything out in detail. They're so specific that anyone that with the ability to read them and to follow them can build exactly what the architect has in mind. And with blueprints, you don't mess with them. You follow them without question. In fact, if you deviate from one that's laid out, you're going to mess several things up. And so if we take that idea and we apply that to ourselves, then God's blueprint for our lives is a definite, detailed plan for each one of us. And so whenever it comes time to make a major life decision like college or career or choosing a spouse or buying a new home, etc., if we just make the right decision, stay on the path, not only are we following the blueprint that God has for our lives, but everything, if we follow those things, everything will just work out fine. We'll be happy, we'll be content, we'll be fulfilled, right? That's a blueprint. Now, I'm not saying, and I don't want anybody leaving here today saying, you know, that God never has a specific, highly detailed plan in mind, because sometimes He does for certain areas and certain times. But if we base our lives on that, there's actually several dangers to be found in that blueprint mentality. As I said earlier, these are dangers that can really cause some damage in our spiritual life. Because first off, when bad things happen in our lives, which they will, in all of our lives, the reaction is often then, it makes us start to question God. I mean, when we get hit with bad things, when troubles, illnesses, you know, all that stuff comes crashing down on us, it's pretty natural to begin not only to doubt God's justice, His love, His mercy, but also His control over things. We start to question things, well, that's not the way it's supposed to be. That's not what God promised. Where's the protection from pain and all those other bad things? Sometimes we might even get to a point where we say, did I do something wrong? Did I get off the path and God is punishing me? But also in a blueprint model, that can paralyze us with fear and indecision. And what I mean by that is, you know, we can get so caught up in making sure that we do the right thing, make the right choice, take the right path, that in our fear of making mistakes, we might simply do nothing. We might wait until there's no question, no risk, no chance of failure. But in the process, we miss the opportunities that God has put right in front of us. Third, having a blueprint mentality can also mess with our focus. I mean, if we believe that everything is planned out for us, then how easy is it to just turn God into this magic genie who's going to find things for us, that's going to do things for us, that's going to grant our every wish? Maybe even believing we don't have to do anything because it's all taken out of our hands. That's a blueprint. So what's a game plan? I'm so glad you asked me that. Because see, a game plan is a set of guiding principles with flexibility built in so adjustments can be made as things go along. Example of that would be to think about a basketball coach. He comes to the game with a plan for how he wants the game to be played. But what happens? Very rarely does it all go according to his game plan. Very rarely do all the players do everything he wants them to do on either team. Frequently, the coach has to make adjustments. He has to revise some of the plans, even shift some of the players around. And believe it or not, this is how God typically interacts with his people, with his children. And you find that in his stories all throughout the scriptures. Not with a set of, just with a set of rules and regulations, not with a list of do's and don'ts that if they get messed up or broken, then the game is over. He interacts with us. He's not sitting up there with this big plan, and we're down here. He interacts with us. He adjusts with love, with compassion, with wisdom. Even if we make bad choices. So when we look again at this verse from Jeremiah 29, we really need to look beyond what we think it says or what we think it is. Because if we look at this verse, if we don't yank that verse, which we like to do, but if we keep it in its context, we see that this is part of a letter that to the Israelites who've been in exile in Babylon for years. People who've been beaten down by their oppressors, their enemies. People who have lost their homes and their possessions, as well as their dignity. People who are at rock bottom. And that's why when you put that, leave it in its context, we see that this is God's prophecy of a life-changing game plan that he has for them. It's not the promise of a blueprint that with all their next moves mapped out in order for them to be happy and contented. It's the promise of an eternal plan if they are obedient. And that's where it becomes relevant for us too. You see, God has a complete plan for all of his creation. And you know what that plan is? It's to be in a relationship with him. Full, complete, restored. That's his plan. And that's the game plan he has for a hope and a future that he talks about. And so contrary to what we've been taught or what we believe, now get ready for this. Our happiness and contentment in this world is not really that important to God. Whoa. Our happiness and contentment is not that big an issue to God because it's not nearly as important to God as it is about our eternal home with him. Just as our failures are seen by God, not as failures, but as future opportunities. And that's why even though nothing happens outside the will and plan of God, we are still given the freedom of choice to make our own decisions. However, that's also why Paul writes in Ephesians 5:17, he says, "Do not be foolish, but understand what God's will is." Because see, when we understand that, when we embrace that, we realize that our responsibility is not in this life is not so much that we got to find that thing
We got to find that perfect job. We have to find that perfect home. We have to find that perfect marriage. It's not so much about finding something. It's about becoming someone. And that someone is to be a reflection of the image and character of Jesus Christ. No matter what situation you find yourselves in, no matter where you live, no matter what job you have, no matter who you marry. Romans 12:2 puts it this way. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, perfect will. Putting it another way, God will do whatever it takes, allow whatever it takes, in a wide variety of forms, through many different situations and experiences and opportunities, sometimes even in seemingly harsh ways, to make that happen. But the choice is up to us how we will respond. We are not and never will be simply puppets on a string with God. So Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all that you do, and He will show you which path to take. Simply trust that God is bigger than our choices, bigger than any of our failures, bigger than the sins we commit, bigger than the sins committed against us. Trust God to meet your needs. Trust God's Spirit to lead you, to give you power, and to live that abundant life that God's plan has for you. So I ask you today, is that the life you are living today? If not, that can change today. All you have to do, as I've said so many times, is to let go of your control. Let go of who you think you need to be. Let go of what you think you need to be doing. Trust God. Let's pray. Lord, you have given us a plan. But it's not about searching for that ideal thing that you have this all for us. Your plan is simply to be with you. It's simply to enjoy what you have for us. And that is our relationship. All the other stuff in this life that we get so consumed about, it's so small in that bigger picture. So this morning, once again, we ask you to touch our hearts. Touch hearts that have hardened themselves to you. That have focused themselves on living life for what they want and not for what you want. And Lord, you know we're all guilty of that every day in varying degrees. So this morning, help us to release our stubbornness, our hard-heartedness, and to trust you. To let go and to trust you. May each one of us, Lord, hear your words and respond. We thank you and praise you in your Son's name. Amen.